Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I am your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed. You can also find me on my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, or the MySPS blog. We're excited to bring you today's interview, but first, a couple of news and announcements. Make sure that you're going out to MySPS and checking out all of the updates. There's a survey about winter delays, timekeeping, as you know, with Kronos, and some Trustmark open enrollments is all happening right now. Also, out on that MySPS page, the WeLearn blog is there. You go to WeLearn and then blog, and you can see the latest blog post that we have out there, which is all about some of my favorite things. So the last couple, if you've missed them, is the top five PowerPoint updates and the top Microsoft Word updates. These two programs that we use quite a bit have had a lot of updates over the past number of months, and I'm just highlighting a few of my favorite things. So you go and check those out. You can also find them out on beardedtechedguy.com. For today's interview of the week, we met with Dr. T. Allen Bush, Dean of Students over at Kylie Prep. Dr. Bush was previously a science teacher over at JFK Middle, and I think you'll find this interview really fascinating and pretty awesome. He is an awesome guy, and I hope you get a lot out of it. So, take a listen.
I'm Dr. T. Allen Bush. I work at the Academy at Kylie. We're a new middle school, just started last year. I used to teach science, and I'm currently the dean of students for seventh grade.
So when you taught science, were you at Kylie? Because Kylie Academy, as you just said, is newer this time around. So a few years ago, it wasn't there. So
yeah, I started over at John F. Kennedy Middle School. And then as we transitioned to open the new Academy at Kylie, I came over for that.
Awesome. So your time teaching science, what did you find to be the kind of technology you would use in the classroom?
So pre-COVID, pretty rudimentary technology, overhead projectors. We would use our laptops sometimes to augment the curriculum. But, you know, we were still using textbooks, printouts, kind of the old school approach, if you will. Mm-hmm. So the technology used pre-COVID was very rudimentary, very basic.
So when you were teaching science, I'm going to, since we were talking prior to this recording, what was your like favorite science subject that you were teaching with your students?
There's no doubt, you know, we taught force. Force was a great topic. As we spoke about before, science is mathematical, you know, language kind of put into words and to practice, if you will. So when you teach force, it's heavy equations to be able to figure out those type of things. And so that was my favorite topic because it allowed us to marry two different, you know, classes, topics of academics. I used to tell students all the time, if you're good at math, you'll be good at science because it's an equational approach. And if you're good at science, you should be good at math because it's just the opposite. And I think that carried a lot of weight and it gave students confidence as they entered those classes. And they saw the common approach to the math and science.
Yeah, I definitely remember my middle school time, like, having science and math. And because I was thriving in science, math became a lot easier for me because just like you, I had a teacher who would point that out regularly to us as we were doing our science work.
Yes.
Because it was similar to you. There's a science teacher, math teacher, all of that.
And I think it also answers for a lot of students, why am I learning this? What's in it for me? And here's why. It can help you in math. Not only that, I think the science part helps explain the mathematical equations because they're just static. They're just equations. When you have science involved, now they become something. They do something. So that, I think it puts, you know, math into real life practical terms.
Yeah. The practical application for math is especially important. I remember with teaching fifth graders, we'd be going through division. Like, why do I need to know how to do division? I'm never going to use it in my real life.
Right.
Like
right,
having right. students say that to me, I'm like, well, in science, you would do this. In construction, you would do this and just point out different areas where, because I'm sure that you might remember textbooks from when we were younger, where it'd be like, and I'm just using my fifth grade references here. You had 42 watermelons that you were bringing to this party with 12 people. How much watermelon does each person get? Yeah, and you're exactly. Like, they get fat. They get fat because they're eating a lot of watermelon.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same practicality to it. One of the things that I thought was always interesting to marry the concept of why do I need math? Something as simple is how would you figure out the temperature in Celsius versus Fahrenheit? It takes a mathematical approach just to do that simple. That simple, like I said, I guess I would use the term comparison, or that was an easy way of saying here's how you would use that. You know, how come February is only 28 days? You know, we would use those type of things. Ah, you know, that is almost the beginning, if you will, of spring and kind of the end of winter, if you will. So why has that been the shortest month? So just, you know, kind of incorporating those mathematical things into real life scientific terms was really helpful.
That's awesome. So going into COVID, you were still teaching science at that point. What kind of challenges did you have to overcome with teaching science remotely to your students?
Without a question, the difficulty was the hands-on, the experiential learning that takes place in a science class that makes science real. It's the hands-on portion and doing experiments in a science classroom is really what makes the science class and the experience what it should be. So we had to find creative ways to be able to provide the hands-on approach. We could have students do things at home, grab some salt, grab some sugar, grab some water. We'll work on, you know, dissolving, what's a compound, what's a mixture. Certain experiments we were able to do when it came to inertia. One of the fun ones that I liked was I would tell the students, I want you to push your parent or your guardian. Have them stand still and then push them. And they were like, really? We get a chance to push our... I'm like, yeah. And you get to tell them, this is all the scientific experiment about force. And so it was a good way to explain, you know, every object will stay still until force is applied to it to cause it to move. Your parent was staying still until you pushed them. You know, so different things like that, that would be able to incorporate the hands-on learning in a fun way.
Yeah, I could definitely see that one in particular.
Very fun.
Matter of fact, for the student.
When you're getting asked to do that all year long, even though you're not on that particular section, you can tell how much they enjoyed it.
That is awesome. Because I think, like, with science, like, I remember, like, in seventh grade doing experiments and having my little Bunsen burner. And clearly, you're not going to send home 100 Bunsen burners with little propane tanks.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know if they make little propane tanks, but, like, you're not going to send that home to every student. I can see how missing those types of experiences can be very hard for science. Because with a FET simulator, you can only see and do so much with it.
Right. And that's what we talked about. You know, it really took away the sensory gratification that science provides. There is a gratification when you see something bubble over. When you see something like in your case, when the Bunsen burner explodes, it's exciting. When you see inertia and motion happen, those are all real things that students really enjoy. And so that sensory gratification was definitely depleted during the COVID time. Yeah. I should say, because we're still in that time, in the pure remote learning environment.
Yeah, that is a good way to point that out. So in shifting gears, during COVID, you were promoted to dean, or you looked for the opportunity to move up. So what kind of inspired you to do that? Move from teaching science to dean, because those are two very different things.
They sure are. Fortunately, that transition was pretty seamless. However, it was predicated on the fact that my goal is to become a principal. And before I got into the administrative piece, I used to be a college president. So most of my experience was on the post-secondary level, dealing with adults. As I came to K-12 education, before I became an administrator and started telling people what to do, it was important to me to know what they did. So I started in the classroom, got that experience, went to the dean role, where now I'm dealing with more behavioral, socio-emotional issues with students. But I get a chance to touch all of them. So that's nice as well. But I think before I get to that administrative role, to understand those two dynamics was important to me personally.
That's really a great approach when coming to that, because I know there are a lot of teachers in this district who do desire to move up into administrative roles. So being even being able to allow to do that is pretty awesome too, because I'm guessing that is what predicated the move from Kennedy to Kylie.
Yes, it was. You know, I've had experience starting new schools, like I said, more on the college level. But it was the opportunity to set the initial culture of a new middle school that really kind of drove that decision for me to join the team in that capacity. And I'm assuming that was the thinking of the executives when they asked me to take on that position as well.
Awesome. So you did start this during COVID. So what were some of the successes and some of the challenges of making that jump into being a dean when you are remote?
Well, I'll start with the challenges. The challenges were you didn't always get the opportunity to see kids doing good things. You know, when you're in person, you get the opportunity to see kids do good things all the time. So you get an opportunity to informally praise them for doing good things. In a remote atmosphere, you can't always see that. So what you seem to be gravitating to some of the negative behaviors that you have to address. So that was one of the challenges there. But the successes were we set a culture that was going, we actually had a game plan to set a culture during remote learning that would carry over when they came back in person. And one of those cultural pieces was facing the space. During the remote learning aspect, we would require students to have their cameras on. They had to have their face in the space. They had to be engaged. And that kind of carried over to this year when they came back in person. They knew what the expectations were and what it looked like for engaged learning.
Sorry about that. Speaking of challenges, Wi-Fi went down where I was.
There is another challenges too. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of the pieces we talk about, understanding different circumstances. That would be very real for a lot of our students when the Wi-Fi went out, things of that nature. Again, as you interact with students, you didn't always get a chance to see the positive behaviors. So I think it was really important to make sure before you started to approach what seemed like negative behavior, you kind of went behind the scenes to ask what's really going on. Oh, I didn't have my camera on because, like I said, my Wi-Fi went out. Or my family doesn't have internet right now. Or the, the hotspots that was provided by the district is not working too well right now. So you had to overcome those challenges as well, as you were still trying to hold them accountable to doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So with starting as a dean during COVID remote, what things have you taken from that remote time and been able to apply now that we are back in person nearly 100%?
Yeah, that's funny you asked that question, because we were able to crystallize that thought at the beginning of the year. And what I really took from the remote learning is just how much students and parents really need us to do our job well. They really need us to do our job well. They have difficult jobs as parents. Everybody's trying to, you know, navigate through this COVID pandemic and all the other situations that come along with that. It became really, really apparent to me that parents and students really need us to do our jobs well. You know, we're not perfect, but I think to strive to do it well is paramount.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way too, having spent so much time trying to help all teachers be able to be the best that they can be during the remote time. So, well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, and I do thank you for joining us. One of the things I did learn during the remote time through reading the Digital Learning Playbook was this idea of teachers taking care of themselves. I know when I taught, I would spend 50, 60, 70 hours a week working on trying to make the best lessons I could and grading. And I, of course, with teaching English, I felt that it was important to be writing letters back and forth. And for some reason in my mind, I'm like, oh, this will be no problem. I can do that. And then when I realize I have to take home 40 notebooks and write 40 letters weekly, like, that's a lot of time. So I never really took care of myself. And in the Digital Learning Playbook, the very first thing that they mentioned and talked about was taking care of yourself so that you can take care of your students. Because if you're not taking care of yourself well, you're going to have a harder time with your students. So with all of that in mind, what are some things that you've done over the last year to take care of yourself during this time?
Well, I utilize personally, and I tell others to utilize the same approach. I call it the airplane approach. Make sure you put your mask on before you put someone else's mask on in an emergency. In other words, take care of yourself first before you try to take care of others. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to take good care of your students. So just having that mindset approach that probably in this particular atmosphere, taking care of myself first would allow me to take care of my students better. The other aspect for me, you know, I work out 4 or 5 times a week. That workout piece not only helped me, you know, to decrease stress, but, you know, it's a benefit health wise, from a mindset, emotional perspective and things like that. So I work out and stay active. That's always what's helped me.
That's awesome. So with your workout, just so that I'm curious, are you more of a lift weights or more of a cardio guy?
A combination thereof. When I lift, I do circuit training. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of get an anaerobic and an aerobic effect from the same exercise. And it also kind of decreases the time I need to stay into the gym. You know, I'm a single dad. So just like you said, finding time to do everything throughout the day for administratively, for the students, for my own family. You know, I can't spend 2.5 hours in the gym. I would love to lose myself there, but I can't. So yeah, the circuit training approach, keep it going, keep it moving, different body parts. Yeah, it's been really, really helpful.
So when you say circuit training, just because I am not as familiar, is that more of like the T90X or more of like the CrossFit?
It's kind of a combination of all those programs combined, multiple exercises and multiple body parts before you take a rest. And you can kind of design that however you want to. So for me, it's like, you know, I may do a back exercise and then a bicep exercise and then do a chest exercise. So what we call that is a 3-body part, 3 rotation circuit with very little rest in between. Then after you get done with that particular circuit, you take 60 seconds and you get back at it. So it just provides that muscle building approach with the aerobic approach. So you get a good sweat and you feel good afterwards.
Awesome. I'll take that into my own advisement as I'm trying to be healthier overall.
I'll charge you later for that piece.
Charge me later for it.
Yeah, for the personal training advice. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. I know it's middle of the day, and I imagine being able to be a dean, you get to go and see a lot of students right now. So enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for this time.
I appreciate it very much. And yes, it is. I get to go hang out with our students and our scholars. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you again for that awesome interview. So listeners, if you're out there, there's a lot of great things in here to help connect your students to both math and science together. I know that was a big thing for me when I was in school. It helped math be a little easier because science always made sense to me. Math, not so much, but once I had that applicable knowledge, it was awesome. Thank you again for spending some time with me and just hearing this awesome interview. I hope that whatever platform you're listening to us on, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, that you go out there, you're subscribed, leave us a review, a rating, whatever the platform has you do. And also please share this with your friends so that they can also hear about all the amazing things that are happening here in Springfield Public Schools. So if you love this episode of the SPS Digital Hour, make sure that you head over there and do that. It is very much appreciated. Wrapping up today, I'm Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SPS Digital Learning Hour. The SPS Digital Learning Hour is written, directed, produced by Mike Thomas, Senior Digital Learning Analyst of Springfield Public Schools, recorded here in Central Office, downtown Springfield. The music you are hearing today, we highly encourage you to check out our show notes, Risen. It's a great song, and go and support the artist out on whichever platform that you like. All that information is in the show notes below.